Welcome to the Relationships Show. I'm Dr. Dar, and I'm so jazzed to have Jeanette Mundy with her. She is really, really passionate about our topic today, and we're going to be talking about self-respect. Self-respect is a game changer for going about life confidently and with full self-awareness. When you experience self-respect, you can be yourself, and here's the juicy part. You attract what you want into your life. So we're going to talk about that today. Welcome, Jeanette, our expert on self-respect.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
It's going to be a wonderful show. So just about our show real quick, we're called Relation Shifts, where we shift our thinking and our mindset so that we can create a different result in our life. And it's about simple solutions to love's conundrums, and that could be love of people, ourselves, places, and things. And without further ado, let's start talking about self-respect. So Jeanette, you know, this idea of self-respect, I think we just pack a lot into that word respect, that I just wanted to start out by defining that word, those two words together. How do we simply, you know, simplify the explanation or definition of it?
Well, self-respect, if we experience self-respect, we're actually experiencing that we're okay, that in some way we're good enough, and that we hold ourselves as a legitimate person, someone who is worthy. So if I make a judgment about what it means to be worthy, and I seem to fit that bill for myself, I'm actually going to experience self-respect.
I'm okay. You're okay. And we may not agree, we may not like each other, but that doesn't mean we don't have respect, is what I heard in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a nice way of putting it. I'm okay, you're okay, we might not necessarily agree. So every one of us has different approaches to life and different worldviews. How do we go about living in this life okay with each other and ourselves?
I also like to say that I feel like respect, you know, we hear that respect is something that's earned. So I wonder, you know, that just that cliche saying that we've lived with and hear quite often, quite frankly, I wonder if that lends itself to difficulty around giving ourselves that respect because it's earned. And how do you earn it for yourself?
That's a good point. How do you earn it for yourself? Good question.
Should we just throw that out the window?
Yeah. Well, what is it that you're earning? That's what question for that.
There's nothing to earn if you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we're okay, self-respect does not have to be earned, and respect does not have to be earned. So there's this idea or notion that there are things that people do or say that cause self-respect to go up or go down, but respect is always present at some degree or not. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a nice way of describing it, because we can get caught up in other people's judgments or opinions about what it is to be okay.
Yeah.
But essentially, at the heart of us, we're okay.
We're all okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're going to throw out that notion of respect is earned, and therefore self-respect does not have to be earned. It's simply there. And we're throwing in this idea to play with in your life and experiment with, that respect is always present. There's just things that people do or say that cause respect to diminish or increase. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So let's talk about what it looks like when self-respect is not, when I don't have it.
What I'd like the listeners to tune into is, what are they actually hearing? It might be a person hearing themselves saying something in their private conversations around, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I can't do X. And so this is a way for them to start, you know, becoming present to what it is that they're sensing.
And what they're saying about themselves, that words have power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing I'd like to throw in there too, Jeanette, is this notion of how I think we've all been in a society where we're focusing on improving our weaknesses. And I say, throw that out the window too. Why do I want to work on something that I'm not good at? Let me do stuff that I'm really good at and work with individuals who don't have that ability, but have the ability to do what I'm not great at. And that just, that's what works. That's where the synergy is in relationships, I think. How do we tie that to self-respect?
I think it's a great point, because what happens is that we can tend to not be authentic to what it is that we really want in life. We can start going off on different tangents and trying to fit a different mold. We can start trying to be like someone else.
Right.
For these things external to us. And yet, really, we've got it within us. We've got everything that we want for our own lives is within us. So if we concentrate on what it is that we want, then we're simply going down the path of self-respect, because we're congruent with us. We can be our authentic self.
So what happens when we don't have self-respect? What happens to us as human beings?
Well, we're less likely to take action on the things that seem really important to us. So, for instance, if we want to have a conversation around setting boundaries for ourselves or asking help for something, if we don't actually experience self-respect, we're less likely to do this, because we don't think that we're worthy enough. Now, we don't necessarily go around saying, oh, I'm not worthy enough not to have this conversation.
Well, what do we say?
Well, we might say it's not possible. We might start saying, we talk in stories around it. We might start saying, well, you know, this, we can probably blame people external to us for not opening up the possibilities to have a certain conversation, yet really it's us that's putting that boundary up.
So judgment of self that's putting a wall up to where we can't walk through it, and we don't see that there's a door there, maybe.
Yeah, we don't see there's a door there, so we don't even enter into the notion that this is possible.
So what do relationships, so, you know, if I am lacking self-respect, and it really matters whether it's a father relationship or a mom relationship or a romantic relationship, a friendship, if I don't have respect for myself, what are those relationships like? Have you seen any patterns around behaviors?
Withdrawal is something that's quite big. And when I say withdrawal, I mean withdrawing from an actual conversation. So when you withdraw, you might come away from that person and you still might enter into conversations with other people about the conversation, the relationship isn't very effective, it's not going very well, he or she does this or says that about me or to me, and they don't respect me. They don't allow me to do X.
They won't speak with me. They don't listen.
Yeah, they don't listen. So you're entering into conversations outside of the conversation you really need to be having a conversation in.
You know, that also reminds me of a child who might say that they aren't playing with me, and that might be a sign of that whole self-respect indication to build that up and teach how to do that. Yeah. So it sounds like to me that respect is very connected to self-empowerment and really giving your power away to others.
Absolutely. We can go on all day about blaming other people for, for what they do to us, but it's not until we stop and really take a good look at ourselves and say, well, what is my responsibility in this? How can I change this interaction? That we really are entering the realm of self-respect, because what you're doing in there is you're telling yourself, well, actually, I'm capable of doing this, of making this change.
And then it's a choice whether to change or not and be whole in that. You may, I may choose to say, okay, I'm not going to work on this relationship anymore. We'll coexist in peace. But, you know, I have relationships in my life. I'm the love guru, but there are some people I just don't, you know, our core values don't align, our ideas of respect and coexisting don't align. And that's, like you said, they're okay, I'm okay. It's just, what do we do and how do we coexist without conflict or contention or my way, your way, and just simply be in peace in that relationship.
I really like that analogy, because this, you know, I'm okay, you're okay. Really what sits behind that is a level of acceptance. It might start with self-awareness.
Right.
But then it's about, well, what can I accept about this?
Yeah, and there's also around, relationships that fail, that we're okay, we just don't work together well. Yeah. That just puts such a different spin on it, that without all that accountability and heaviness and judgment and blame. So let's talk about power a little bit and what, you know, we hear this, or I hear the words authentic self quite often, or, you know, individuals going into a job interview or on their first date, they'll be told by friends and family, and I've been guilty of saying this too, in my younger years, of just be you. And I find that people really don't know what that means. Just be you. What is that? I don't know how to be me. So let's tie that to self-respect somehow. That
the notion of how to be me.
Yeah, because authentic self is really, who am I? What do I stand for? And you've also mentioned in a prior conversation about having your own standards. So maybe we start there, that the having your own standards idea.
And tie that to how can I be me?
Tie that to how can I be me, or a structure of who I am. So, for example, every single day I choose to stand in love. That's who I am. That's who I'm here to be. Do I have situations and people and circumstances that take me to the opposite of that? Which could be, you know, dislike, disdain, fear. Those are all words of fear. Absolutely. It's part of being human. But who I am is really love.
Okay, well, can we relate it back to the work situation then, for instance?
Sure.
So you go into your new job and you've got your job role, and there's certain expectations going to be expected of you. Now, one of the things that you might align really well with is communication. And what does that communication mean? Does it mean that you really are going to go into every job that you do and make sure that you've got clarity around the things that are expected of you, the standard of performance that that is expected of you, the timeline that you're expected to get this job back? All of those things accompany your value of communication. Now, if you're really aligning to that, you're more likely to have conversations that open up the possibility to discuss, how am I going to best fulfill my role here?
Yes. And, you know, there's something else that came to me as you were sharing that. I think that being concerned about your first date or going into your job or meeting your boyfriend or girlfriend's parents for the first time, here I think is the key. We really don't know. We've made up all these stories in our head that are based in fear or concern, but at the end of the day, those are stories in our head, and we really don't know, and we don't know until we go and experience it, right? So I think through having self-respect and getting clearer about what feels good to you and what feels right to you and what you'll tolerate and what you won't and how you deal with that, just stand in that and having and being committed to having a good time or having an enjoyable time, and just focus on that instead of the what ifs and the scenarios that you don't have answers to that get answered while you're in it. Mm-hmm. Right? So
lovely, because then it's more likely that you're going to be okay with any of the uncertainties that come your way.
Yeah. So the what if they don't like me? What if I don't do something right? All of that goes away because it ties back to that self-respect, and we're all okay. We'll either align or we won't. And we'll either wholly and, you know, holistically and completely align, which with human beings, that is very rare. There's going to be times when you're going to be out of alignment, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder whether it gives you a basis on which, you know, you can be trusted in the workplace and that right. you can trust others.
Figure it out as you go.
Figure it out as you go and be okay.
Yep. Know that you're okay going into it. I love it. Mm. So I know you've got 5 takeaways for everybody where by really honoring these 5 takeaways that you're about to give as a huge gift that we can be, that will result when applied, and they are simple, to really be full of self-respect and to really remember these every single day. So you want to share those with us? And
I'd love to.
Awesome.
So number 1 is set your own life compass, your values, and be authentic. So be authentic in that. Just really live by your own values, and that way you'll be aligned to you.
So I just want to share that you know, when being aligned to your own values, you really have to pick 5 key words that you value in yourself and that you value in others. And when you have those 5 to 7 key words, it's a pretty powerful way to live. It guides, it will guide you and be a guiding light for you to, you know, the types of people you engage with, the work environments, relationships, I mean, even down to furniture, quite frankly. I mean, I'm all about love, so my furniture's got to be comfortable, for instance. And then the being authentic, I want to kind of unpack that a little bit. The being authentic, I think, is really, for me, being open-hearted and not being afraid of being hurt. Just really be fearless in sharing what's there for you and allowing your quirks and those parts that you judge yourself for, let those out.
Yeah, let them out. Absolutely, I like that. I really like that. And I think also being authentic to your values. So if you've got those 5 core values, if you're being authentic, you're listening to them. You're actually tuning into them. And when something isn't aligned, you're saying, well, hang on a sec, that doesn't align to my values. For me to be authentic in myself, I want to align to those. So what do I want to do that's different now?
Cool. So I just want to share, you know, may I share my own values just to give everyone an understanding?
Perfect.
To relate to? So health is a number 1 value for me, and here's why. I deal with acute occupational and environmental asthma. So any given day or any given moment, I can't go outside, or I have to restructure my meetings. And so everybody that I engage with understands that health is number 1. And if it's going to be an unhealthy environment for me, I know it's a no for me. if it's going to be a healthy environment for me, I know it's a yes. So it's just a great guiding compass for me. Another value I have is flexibility. Because of the health situation, I, you know, do well with people who are flexible with schedules and understanding and aren't, you know, there are many that are very rigid with their schedules and rigid with structure and life. And I know I don't do well. That's not going to be a win-win. Doesn't mean I can't have a relationship with that person, but say in business, I may not, they may not be my ideal client, for example. So those are two examples. What about you? Do you have a couple of examples that are guiding lights for you?
Yeah, I do. And one of them is just something that I've developed fairly recently in my life through a lot of self-awareness. And that is around legitimacy. My value is that everyone is legitimized. I treat everyone with self-respect. And in every conversation I go into, if I don't feel like I'm aligning, if I'm judging what's going on in that conversation, I can bring myself back to knowing that it's incredibly important that this person is held as a legitimate other.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, that is incredibly important for me. I lived in a life where, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't experience that so much. And so then as a young adult, I adopted these practices that really didn't align with my own values. And it's taken, you know, a lot of self-awareness to realize, hang on a sec, that's not how I want to live. I want to live like this because every human on this planet has a right to be legitimized.
It's that idea of sovereignty. We all have sovereignty and we all belong here and we all share air and blood and food and earth.
Yep.
That unity. Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the second, another value that I hold very strongly now is that I am, it doesn't matter what conversation I go into or what situation I am, I'm always a learner.
Mm.
So how that plays out for me is that I don't necessarily hold the truth of things. I go into conversation with other people ready to explore the possibilities and to learn from them as much as they might want to learn from me. So this notion of the learner is just taking yourself curiously into the world, being open, and, you know, it doesn't sit with arrogance.
It sits with acceptance.
Yeah, it sits with acceptance.
Even when you're different. Yeah, that resonates for me. Another one of mine, my values is reciprocity, and that ties in with the learning as well, is, you know, that reciprocal conversation and sharing. Yeah.
Neat. Mm, beautiful.
Okay, so that was number one, set your own life compass, be authentic to your values and be authentic. What's number two?
Okay, so number two is give others a voice, but don't give them authority over your life.
So let them speak, but don't let them have power over you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it is what I'm saying, because we often give people authority. You know, when you think of people in authority, you think of politicians, teachers, even ministers, anyone that holds some sort of standing in society is what we normally consider a person of authority. Now, you know, we can be our own authority in our life, and we can still do that by giving others a voice. So we can still listen. So for instance, if we want to live congruently in our personal relationship, we can give our significant other a voice without giving them authority over us. And therefore that relationship becomes an equal relationship. Mm-hmm. We're listening, we're tuning into what they're saying, we're hearing them, we're seeing them as legitimate, yet we're still holding ourselves, you know, in our own authority.
So do you have some examples of that? I'm kind of thinking of one or two myself, but one example I was thinking of is this notion of being a young teenager and thinking a guy or a girl's cute. And then the emotions, you know, and the hormones take over, and we start really behaving less than, because we put that person on a pedestal. And then we go and do everything we possibly can to get their attention. So that's one example of gosh, I certainly did it. Gave my power away and then got into that relationship, started dating them, and then realized, okay, this is not working out the way I thought it would be.
Firstly,
wasn't there.
Firstly, what I'd like to say is I love that you're so great with examples, by the way.
Thank you.
And I think that's a terrific example. And we can take that into our adult relationships. That doesn't necessarily stop when we're teenagers.
That's very true.
This we can have adult relationships where we're completely besotted with somebody and we hold them in high regard, and therefore in a sense we might be diminishing ourselves.
You know, I think about these strong mother, you know, mother figures or strong father figures, where a daughter or a son may completely give their power to that, you know, that strong authority in their life. Mm. I am going to try on having dialogues around, you know, I feel that we're both in, you know, have this need for power or control. And what if we were to say that we're equal in that? And just kind of see and explore where it goes instead of the tug of war with the rope, you know, between us. So that's another, I think, tip as well of another way to allow another person to have power, but not take yours, and you both have a voice. That number two is really powerful.
Yeah, it is really powerful. And I like what you've said about what if. What if we were both equal in this?
And we both have power instead of giving it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to frame it, because it opens up, you know, that we call that a conversation for possibility. So we're opening up possibilities. We're not saying I have, you know, all the authority in this and I am right.
Yeah, and the authority might feel different because of the roles in the relationship, but it can still be equal. You can still be a parent and a child, an adult child or a child, and still have, you know, it might just be a different role and a different feeling of power, but you can still be equal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. So what's number three? This is great stuff.
Okay, so number three is commit to inner learning to increase self-awareness with acceptance.
So let's unpack inner learning. What does that mean?
That is having the ability to tune in to what's going on for you. What is happening what are you saying to yourself? And what are the judgments you have about yourself? And that might be an example of that might be what actions am I not taking that I think I should be taking? What things am I not doing that I think I should be doing? And how am I judging myself for that?
And how I feel about myself too.
Yeah, how I feel about myself. So these are all judgments we make. Now we can turn these into self-criticisms and get on a spiral of self-criticism.
You could, or you could just accept that part of you, which is what I think you're trying to say here.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. So when you accept it and you tune into what you are saying to yourself or what you're not doing and what you're saying about that, you can then be curious, more curious about it rather than self-judging. I think we hit brick walls. The minute we start self-judging and coming down on ourselves, we start to hit brick walls. I think there's a notion out there that we must struggle and strive. And I really, what I've seen from my experiences, that's when people start hitting brick walls. They accept that this is what's going on for them internally, then they can start to be a learner and make shifts.
So let's take an example. I just remember, I guess my little girl is coming out in me. For many, many, many years, I did not like my nose. So I'm just kind of sitting here tuning into this idea of inner learning to increase self-awareness and add in that acceptance. And when I asked myself, why did I not like my nose? And it was because all these noses around me were cute and petite and, you know, the television. I mean, we're surrounded by nose jobs now and all of that. Mm-hmm. And is it really true that I've got an ugly nose? No, no one's really told me that. It's really that I've been comparing.
Yeah.
And when I realized that and I asked myself why, I arrived at, you know what, doggone it, this is my nose and I'm good with it. When I realized no one had really told me my nose was ugly, you know? Yeah. So I don't know if that fits, but that's the example that came to mind.
Well, I think it does fit because I think what I'm hearing there is this comparison that you were making against other noses.
Right.
No one told you your nose was no good or ugly, as you put it. You had made that judgment and therefore you weren't sitting well with your nose.
So it's turning the judgment around to a acceptance.
Yeah, awesome. Turning it around.
Absolutely. All right, what's number four?
Okay. So listen to how this is affecting your life without judgment, without judging it. So obviously, if we've got these judgments and we're the inner critic, how is that inner critic affecting our life? You know, what are we not doing because of the inner critic? It might be getting in the way of us having a better relationship. It could be getting in the way of us making a business decision. I hear a lot of women talk about they want to become, so for instance, I'm in tune with a lot of women who want to become entrepreneurs and they are saying, I'm not good enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. And they live in these judgments and that puts the stop up.
So self-respect goes down when the self-judgments and criticizing and comparing go up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got to pay attention to the self-judgments and the criticisms and turn them around.
Yeah, turn them around so that you can take the actions that you really want to take in your life.
Okay.
The self-judgment is like you can't, it's like pushing through it. You can't keep pushing through something.
You have to
open up a space for learning.
Okay. Cool. So we get to number five. What's five?
Okay, so five is back to the learning, but this is commit to inner learning. Commit. So this is about making a commitment to yourself, to your learner. So how we can do that is we can give ourselves daily practices of learning. We might read, we might listen to podcasts, or we might even journal for ourselves. That's a really great way to start to get to know yourself. And this is how you can utilize inner learning by start opening up spaces for understanding yourself differently.
So it's about having a relationship with yourself and quiet time to answer questions and not make decisions, but really just look at how you approach life to get to know you better.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be done in so many different ways.
And
you know, if you've ever worked in organizations, people talk about it as personal development or professional development. Sometimes that involves getting to know you. Mm-hmm. In the work environment, but how can you now take that into your own life and apply that to yourself and give yourself permission to do it?
So it could be as simple as having a plate of different types of vegetables in front of you, and some of them you haven't tried before, and you take a bite out of each one of them to discern or determine which ones taste good to you or not. That feels like an example of inner learning, exploring something new or exploring something you've done before, and it may not taste good at that, you know, in that moment. Mm. And just kind of exploring in that way. I must be hungry, but food came to mind.
I was wondering about that analogy. I was left of field here.
If you've got a plate of food there, instead of saying I don't like vegetables, if they're you know, if you've never had it before, it's about being open to learning what you do like, what your preferences are.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a nice distinction, actually, learning what your preferences are. And then you can take it, because that's the thing. Once again, that opens up different possibilities for you for your life. You can then start to explore, well, if this is my preference, if this is the way I really want to either behave, or if this is really an action that I'd like to take, how can I start taking that? And that's the exciting thing about self-respect, is you can actually give yourself permission to do all these wonderful things for yourself, and it's not selfish.
No, it's not at all. Giving yourself permission.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So we've got a great offer for you from Jeanette, her personal empowerment e-course, and we'll be providing a link to that once we post this show on Blog Talk Radio and our Relationships blog post page. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.